Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Great to be here this morning. I'll tell you, it's been a real blessing already. Jerry, that verse that you folks are all memorizing, that's Sue's favorite verse in the Bible. She's got it underlined. I guess we're going to say it, or whoever's at her funeral is going to mention it. And then the songs, Marty. I'll call Marty or whoever's leading the music and tell him what I'm going to be speaking on. And every one of those songs, Wait on the Lord. It's all going to be here in the message this morning. It's going to be a message you've heard before, probably. My favorite verses. I love to share it, but I didn't really have time to prepare a new message. I mean, some people do anything for a helicopter ride. First time, eh? Wow. Yeah, I've been in a few of those helicopters. We call them earth rejection machines in the Air Force. They beat the air into submission to get airborne. But that's awesome, Jerry. Good to see you here. That in itself is a blessing, isn't it? You know, our system is still able to do what it did. I mean, golly, 40 years ago, you might be dead. You know, who knows? But anyhow, this morning, we're going to start by, where are we going first? I think we'll go to Matthew chapter 16. That's one of my favorite chapters. It starts off by the Red Sky at Night Sailor's Delight saying, and we'll just read through it and for most of it. And as I say, it's kind of repeating this, but like one thing that the Jewish folks did early in life, because of Deuteronomy 6:4, they had the Shema that they repeat at least once a day, maybe twice a day sometimes. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And they're told to honor the Lord with their heart, soul, and their strength. So every day they would say that. It's a reminder. So every day, I hope, as you are in your devotions or not, you will turn to the Lord. Sometimes it's a bit repetitive, but there's certain verses I know you all have, and we reflect on those, especially in times like these. I don't know what your conversations are like, but usually it's something like this. Oh, nice day, or we need the sun, or we need the rain. You get through that, and then what are you talking about? We're talking about, we're going to be wearing masks forever and this corona thing. And then, of course, it turns into politics. And we're talking about Mr. Trump and then Mr. Trudeau and then Pierre Poilievre as he gets up there and throws his stuff all over the place. I don't know. Sometimes you almost have to laugh at it. It's sad in many ways. But here we are as Christians. And we got to approach these things knowing that God does allow them to happen. And one of the things that COVID has brought on, I believe, is a big prayer life for people, Christians and non-Christians. People are praying to God. Crisis prayer maybe, but hey, they're praying. And people are seeking spiritual answers to what's going on here. How can a loving God do something like this? You know, that kind of question. Well, one thing it does, it turns us to Him. And it turns a lot of people to the Lord, I believe. They're ripe and ready out there. They need to hear the truth. And they need to see Christians handling it okay. Like, as I'm going to read a little bit about Jesus calming the storm. As I say, it's one of my favorite stories. You've heard it before. But, let not your heart be troubled. You know, at the end of the day, God's there for us. And if He's for us, who can be against us? So anyways, we are to pray. And, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, seeking my face and turning from their evil ways, I will forgive their sins. I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Those are promises. And there's a lot of promises in the Bible. And we got to hang on to those promises, especially at times like this. So Matthew 16, starting at verse 1, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for miraculous signs, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah. Jesus then left them and went away. So here we have the sign of Jonah, and he's already mentioned that you go back a couple of chapters in chapter 12, starting at verse 38. Then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said to him, "Teach us what we want to see, a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men at Nineveh will stand up at judgment with this generation and condemn it, for then they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now there is one greater than Jonah." So he already answered them. By the way, Jonah, I don't know if you've ever been to the Sight and Sound place down in Lancaster. Is it Lancaster? Yeah, Pennsylvania. Well, it's a big theater, a beautiful theater. And I'm a very frugal person, so we only gone there once. It's pretty expensive. But it's an experience you only have maybe once or twice. But we went to Nona, and at the intermission, you come back out, and you think you're in the ark. Noah. You think you're in the ark. There's live animals up here and all over the place. So Jonah is going to be on. That was a more recent one that they had done. And it's free. What you have to do is go to TBN. It stands for what? TBN. Trinity Bible Network? Yeah. They show Veggie Tales too, which I've banned in my house. But that's a joke. I like VeggieTales, but I don't know why they didn't name the tomato Jerry or something, Kevin or something. They had to name it Bob. But that's all right. I'll get over it. They're showing it, so you got to download TBN for free, and then you can watch this this play. And Jonah's a great story. I love the story of Jonah. I think I've told you before. I was at a desert survival course one time, right out in the middle of the desert. It's like 100 and some odd degrees out. Oh, it was hot. So I took out my Bible. I said, what am I going to read? I was kind of new at coming back to the Lord in those days. So I thought, well, I'll read Jonah. You know, it's a sea, you know, the water and all that stuff. So I was reading through Jonah, and I got the last chapter where he's sitting under this tree, and the sun was shining, and then the bush went away, and there I am, 140 degrees or whatever. It wasn't a happy ending. But anyways, it's a great story. Of the prophet Jonah, and of God, and who God is, and how he directs our lives. So the sign of Jonah, that's Jesus saying, yeah, I'm going to go down, and you know, 3 days later, I'll reappear. So, and he did that. So then he talks about the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and verse 5, he says, when they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take the bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They discussed this among themselves and said, "It is because we didn't bring any bread." So here the disciples are listening to Jesus. Be careful about this yeast. Well, and then, so they were into the physical yeast and bread and, you know, making bread rise and all that. He didn't realize he was talking about a spiritual issue. And yeast does that. And yeast of the Pharisees, these adulterous, nasty people. And here they were in an area that wasn't a very good area. They went into a pagan area of the country. And here he is sharing that there's a lot of yeast out there, and be careful of it. And likewise today, we do have to be careful. You know, there's caution out there for us, and it's in the Bible, and if we are obedient and prayerfully going about, focused on Jesus, then we should stay away from this yeast, this nasty stuff that spreads. And you know yourself, like rumors and all that stuff. It spreads like wildfire and doesn't end up very, very nice. So he says, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You of little faith, why are you talking to yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000, and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you don't understand that I was not talking about bread, but be on the guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" When they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So here comes I think the best part. When Jesus came to the area of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that I, the Son of Man, is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus replied to him. He says, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona," or Simon the son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Wow. So he asked the disciples, he says, "Who do the people say that I am?" Now I think, you know, today if you ask that question, you're not going to get this kind of answer. People aren't going to say, you know, John the Baptist or like. But they'll have an answer for you. You know, go up to a non-believer and ask him, who's Jesus? Oh, he's somebody that you guys, holy roller people or whatever, believe in. Or it's a name, and sometimes it's a name they use at the end of a sentence in vain. And I have trouble with that, but I do my best to hold my tongue. Yet at times, when it comes to somebody says, "Well, is that bothering you?" And I will. It bothers me. I really do. He's my friend. He's my savior. And that's the next question to say, "Who do you say Jesus?" And that's a question for each and every one of us. I think each and every day, when we pray in the morning, or whatever time, devotion or whatever, we should always constantly ask ourselves, "Who is Christ? Jesus, the Christ, in our lives?" You know, and Peter, you know, he answered. He says, "You're Christ. You know, Christ is the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Chosen One, Son of the Living God. You know, divine. In our lives, He's our Savior. He should be." We should accept him. He's our friend. He's the one we go to. In his name, and in the power of his name, we pray to God the Father. Really important part of our life. And it's important to be reminded each and every day who Jesus Christ is, and to stay focused on him. So now that we've answered that question, as I say, I'm going to go to one of my favorite stories. It's in Luke chapter 8. Starting at verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into the boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went out and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Wow. I was out at Westlake the other day looking over at the, it was fairly flat, not much wind. Then the wind picked up and the waves picked up all of a sudden. And there was boaters out there, and they were bouncing around. It wasn't anything like this. The Sea of Galilee, apparently, it's like 680 feet below sea level, the Sea of Galilee itself. And when the winds funnel down from the mountains down into the onto the sea, sometimes the warm air down here mixes with the cold air, and it creates a squall. And I guess it can get pretty rough out there. In fact, here's proof of the pudding, but even today, people on tours on the Sea of Galilee will share stories about how this squall all of a sudden come out of nowhere. And they were in rough water. And I don't know how many of you have ever been in a boat on rough water, but sometimes it can be interesting. I remember one time a buddy of mine in the United States Air Force took us out onto the Gulf, and we got out of this channel and out onto the water, heading towards Cuba. We had a 19-foot boat. This is a big boat, lots of motor. And we were going up these waves, and there was water in front of us and water behind us going up the side of a wave. And it was so bad, we couldn't turn around. So there we are, three Air Force guys, going to a communist country, Cuba. And we thought we might end up on the shore of Cuba in trouble again. But it wasn't scary, but it was thrilling, okay? I don't think I was afraid, but when you get into rough water, sometimes, and these guys are tough, they're hardened fishermen, okay? They know the water, and they thought they were going to drown. They thought, wow, this is it. And it's really interesting how they went that way. There's Jesus. He's asleep in the front of the boat. So they went and woke him up. Master, Master, we're going to drown. Do something about it. And then he calms the sea, and I think it went flat, just like that, flat. Now, no sea has ever done that in my lifetime. I've never seen it go perfectly flat all of a sudden. But when Jesus spoke, because his control over the winds and the water and the waves and everything, he was able to do that. I mean, he created it all. He owns it all. And he says, okay, calm down. And it calmed down, just like that. And that must have shook everybody up, not only these guys in this boat, but anybody in any other boats. Then he said something really interesting. Where's your faith? Well, they had some faith. They woke him up. And I always said, oh, they got faith. They woke him up to do something. But what they forgot is, initially when he said, let's go over to the other side of the lake, that wasn't just a command, get in the boat, we're going to the other side of the lake. That was a promise. We're going over to the other side of the lake, folks. That's our promise to us. Jesus, maybe we're not crossing the lake, but in life, he's made promises to us, real promises. And sometimes we lose track of those promises, don't we? We just forget about that. And he's not saying there's not going to be storms. There's not going to be COVID. There's not going to be this or heart attacks or... There's going to be lots of things going on in our lives as far as storms go. But he's there to say, it's going to be all right. You're going to end up at the other side of the lake because earlier on, you believe in me. So we're to trust in the Lord. That's where our hope and our trust should be. And that's where we should fix our eyes on Jesus. Earlier on, we sang a song. It was something about waiting on the Lord. I don't know. It had that in it. Well, I know you guys are memorizing Isaiah 41:13 or whatever it is, but you go back to Isaiah 40:31. Now, that's my favorite verse, eh? But those who wait on the Lord, or sometimes hope in the Lord, they renew their strength. They're going to soar on wings like eagles. They're going to run and not be weary, and they're going to walk and not be faint. Those who wait on the Lord. And sometimes we've got to wait. There's a little bit of patience involved. And we've got to trust. And we've got to believe and hope in the Lord. Because we're going to the other side of that lake. You got a song to finish with. And I think it's an appropriate song considering... I didn't even tell you about this message, but before we do, I'd like to pray and just go to the Lord and thank him for all this. And Lord, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for these promises and Father, help us with our faith. Sometimes it is weak. Please strengthen us. Reinstall that hope in our lives and let other people see that light that shines in us because of that hope in you. And we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for what he did on the cross and his shed blood for us. And Lord, we just want to share that with others. So give us opportunities to do that, either with what we say or what we do. Lord, help us to be worthy Christians and good Christians. And when we do stumble, Lord, we thank you for being there. And when we hurt, we thank you for being there as well. So help us get through these tough times and give us faith even stronger than we have now. And now as we close, we just want to give you all the blessings, Lord, and all the thanks from our hearts. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.